The reading is from Luke 24, verses 13 to 34. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleophas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet, he did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him." "We'd hoped that he was the Messiah who'd come to rescue Israel, and this all happened 3 days ago. And then some women from our group of his followers were at the tomb just early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they'd seen angels who'd told them that Jesus was alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." And then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" And then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining himself from all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. And Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, it's getting late." So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it and gave it to them, and suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 disciples and the others who were gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Peter. Let's just pray, shall we, before I come to speak. Father, we thank you for that picture we had at the beginning of your word, like a flaming sword. I pray that you would, in this very familiar story, that Holy Spirit, will you just bring it to life to us in a new way again today? Take my words and speak through them, and Lord, if anything you want to particularly draw to our attention today, that you will just do that, and may we have hearts to respond to what you want to say to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a great story, this, isn't it? This account of Jesus meeting these two travelers on the road, these two ordinary folks on the road. And Cleopas and the other person, there's been lots of speculation who it might have been. Some have suggested even it was Cleopas's wife who was walking with him. I don't know about that, but certainly we see them move from their sort of dismay and disappointment, the failure of their hopes, till they come to understand the truth and are filled with new hope at the end, aren't they? Over the years, I've needed stronger glasses for the distance. I don't need them for reading, but for driving and watching the TV. In fact, I'm not wearing them now. So those of you who are in the back, I think I know who you are, but you know, it might Yeah, I can just see you waving at me, Phil. So just around about, which means actually, because I don't wear them when I'm out, because I might do something unspeakable to them, and they're expensive glasses, aren't they? So sometimes I see somebody coming, and I think, oh, that's so-and-so, that's coming on their way. And as they get closer, I think, oh, no, it wasn't at all, was it? Or worse still, I don't see who the person is, and they walk past me, and I think, oh, dear, that was so-and-so, and I should have said hello to them. And if that's happened to you, I apologize now. But for these followers, it wasn't like that. They're on this journey, 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They're trying to work out what's happened. And as so often happens when there's a real trauma or you're trying to work something out, they're going over and over the story, trying to work out what has really happened. They're very preoccupied with it all. And they don't realize when Jesus joins them. In fact, it made me think about this. Often, you know, I meet in town or somewhere around Kendall somebody that I've taught when they've been in primary school. And for the ladies, they might have a different coloured hair or style or body shape, and the men might have a beard. But you talk to them for a minute, and of course they recognise me, although I might be a lot shorter of hair and a bit greyer and a bit more wrinkly. I don't look as different as they did from 4 to 11, if you can imagine. But as you talk to them, you somehow see this little child inside them, you know, actually, their mannerisms and so on. You do recognize them. And clearly, there was something different about Jesus' resurrection body. Because the woman Mary, who thinks that he's the gardener when he meets her, there when he's risen from the dead, or maybe when the disciples see him on the beach, they don't recognize him at first. But the text tells us that God kept them from recognizing him. So that clearly, in this mystery, that's the big thing that's going on here, because he wants to reveal to them through this encounter the truth, because they're speculating, they're talking all the tales, it's the talk of the town, what people are saying, but Jesus wants to reveal the truth to them. And he draws out to them from what they're talking about and what they're thinking. And it's interesting that a number of Christian courses to help people to come to know Jesus are based on this idea of walking with people and encountering them. In fact, one of the courses is called Emmaus. The Alpha course is not unlike that, really. Often in the small groups, you ask people what they think. And of course, the talks in that expose them to the truth about what the Bible says and the facts from other sources about Jesus. Because of course, I guess nowadays it would all be on social media, wouldn't it? And what's happened, and people would be putting it up on Twitter and other sort of sources like that. But then it was word of mouth, and these sort of stories that they would have had, these disciples, would be the word of mouth stuff. And I don't know if you've ever played Chinese whispers, you know, when you have about 5 or 6 people lined up and somebody speaks in the ear of one at that end, and then by this end you're supposed to have the same story, but you can have quite a different one, can't you? So it's important to get to the truth. And in these days when we're into fake news and fake truth, it's important to get the truth. What a great thing it was that Chris started, actually, with the Bible at the beginning of our service today. The truth about forgiveness and what God has said about that through his word. There was lots of fake news around then as well, of course, because you probably realize that the authorities told the guards to make up this story that the disciples had stolen the body, didn't they? So it was around then, just as it's around now. And people have all sorts of funny ideas today too. But these people, what do they think? Well, they thought he was a prophet, he was a miracle maker, he was a mighty teacher in God's eyes. And they'd hoped, it says, that he was the Messiah. But actually, they hadn't really grasped who the Messiah was or what the Messiah was like. They were still thinking of him as some sort of warlike king like David who would defeat the Romans. In fact, that great theologian Tom Wright says, really, it's for them, as it often is today in different situations, it's like taking up a telescope and looking at, putting the big lens up to your eye so you just see a small picture rather than turning it round so you see God's big picture. Because this is God's picture of redemption and restoration. They hadn't got all of that. They hadn't taken in what the scriptures had said was going to happen. The fact that Jesus was going to lay down his life. He didn't have it taken from him. He laid it down. He chose to do that. To take the sins of the whole world upon himself. The punishment upon himself. So that we could all be right with our Father in heaven again. And I love that detail that when Jesus dies on the cross, how the temple curtain is torn from the top to the bottom. Not by a human hand, because it wouldn't be possible. It was so high. The way into God's presence is open because of all that Jesus has done for us. This stuff is the truth that's in here that we need to know and we need to have taken in for ourselves as well. So these followers are confused. The body's gone. They didn't realize, they hadn't grasped that Jesus is risen from the dead. It didn't happen. Dead people didn't rise, did they? It wasn't normal stuff. And yet death has been defeated. And Jesus points them away from their speculations to the real truth. And what a Bible study that must have been, mustn't it? As he goes through the writings of Moses and the prophets, explaining the scripture all about himself, the Messiah, the truth. And that's a lesson for us too, as we need to get God's word into us, to take that time to spend with it. Because there's so many ideas out there about what God is like and what might have happened. I mean, the BBC did a questionnaire. There's usually some sort of rubbish comes out before Easter, isn't there? They sort of drag out some odd bishop from somewhere who has some strange liberal ideas, or somebody who's made up some story about Jesus' resurrection. But the BBC, they did this questionnaire for people. First of all, they asked them if they were Christians, and they said they were. I think they were saying they weren't Muslims, really, or they weren't something else, because a high percentage of them said they didn't believe in the resurrection. So how can that be? It's just no good, is it? So if you know God's word, and I was preaching on this on Wednesday, you can go to 1 Corinthians 15 and find out what Paul says about the witnesses about that. For instance, Jesus appeared to 500 people at one time, most of whom were still alive when Paul wrote about it. As well as he appearing to the disciples, he appeared to the women at the tomb. And of course, there would have been probably women and children on top of the 500, because he was just probably quoting the men. Amazing number of witnesses to his resurrection. And you find it actually elsewhere apart from in the Bible. But in the Bible, it tells you that truth. What God has done for us. He has been raised. In fact, in that passage, it says in verse 20, but in fact, Jesus has been raised from the dead, the first of a great harvest of all who've died. The promise is for us, if we believe in Jesus, put our trust in him, we can have eternal life. We can join that great harvest of those who've died. In fact, Paul says, if you don't believe it, actually, if it hasn't happened, then we're to be pitied above all people. We'd still be lost in our sins. But in fact, as Paul says, Christ has been risen. Death has been defeated. As Judy got us to do, he's risen indeed. Hallelujah. And the more they found that they were in God's presence as they walked along with Jesus, their hearts burnt within them. They wanted to hear more. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road, they said. And the more we engage with Jesus, the more we all want of him, actually. And we need to do that in our Bibles, in our prayer life, in our worshiping life alone and together, and in sharing the bread and wine as we're going to do later on. As we do that, the more we will want of him. You know, there's that great bit in Psalm 84, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. When we've had special times in his presence, special encounters, we will want more. And we need that ongoing encounter with him. There's a Christian classic book which was probably more prominent a few years ago, which was Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God. Barbara, I don't know if we've got that, have we, in our library? I can't see where she is. Maybe we have, I don't know. But he, day by day, tells of how he's engaging with Christ all the time in the ordinary things that he does, in all that he does, actually. We need that encounter. We need the presence of God with us, and how our hearts will burn within us as we do that. So let's make sure we are seeking God's presence, encounters with him. And let's be sure we know his promises. As I said, it was great to start with some of those things at the beginning of our services. We have the promise of forgiveness if we know Jesus, if we've invited him into our life. And if you haven't, you know, we'd love to help you with that afterwards. There'll be people who'd love to pray with you about that. We have the promise of eternal life, all of us who believe in Jesus. There's verses like in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We might be concerned about how am I going to do that, but he will give us all we need. His grace will be sufficient for us every day. And nothing can separate us from God's love. These verses need to be part of us as we sometimes struggle on in this broken and fallen world. If we're secure in those promises for ourselves, then we'll be secure in sharing them with other people. Perhaps when they come up with their ideas which are not the truth. The more we are in his presence, the more we will want more. That is the truth. Just think of those people who youth have come just back from Mexico. They were so excited. I was talking to Janet, who's one of our administrators, she was there when they came back, and they got delayed, and it was really late. She thought, oh, they'll be really tired and down. But they were jumping still. They were on fire, what God had been doing amongst them. They were still so excited. We need that excitement in us. And, you know, over time, that can dull. But we need to get back to it. One of the letters in Revelation tells people to get back to their first love, to how it was in the beginning. And we can do that as we seek his face. The more full of the Holy Spirit we are, the more we will spill out in the places where we are. And there's something about having our eyes open too, I think, to what God is doing and to the people that he's working in. Sometimes we're not seeing things as God is seeing them. And we need to ask God to open our eyes to the truth in his word, that's sure, but also to what he's doing. Who are the folks that maybe I ought to be engaging with now? Is there somebody I can just get alongside right now? Might be in very small things, but it might be so significant. See, there's many people in our world who feel a bit like these people on the road, who feel despondent or disappointing, maybe feeling their hopes have been dashed as well. But Jesus wants to open their eyes to the truth. And he wants to do it through ordinary folks like you and me. And actually, that's the vision of this God for all thing, actually. God wanted to do that through us. We're ordinary people, but we've got an extraordinary God. And if we know Jesus, his Holy Spirit is in us. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to stir our hearts again. We need to commit ourselves again to getting into His Word, to spending more time with Him, I really feel. And the more we pray and more we seek His face, the more He will use us, the more on fire we will be for Him. Amen. Amen.